السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام، وقال: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بني الإسلام على خمس: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله، وإقام الصلاة، وإيتاء الزكاة، والحج، وصوم رمضان. متفق عليه، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Today's topic, my brothers and sisters, is the five pillars of Islam. We are so lucky and fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us perfect and beautiful religion to follow. On the Hajjatul Wada, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this verse in the Holy Quran that Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena, that today I have perfected the deen and religion for you, and I made it, you know, in every aspect is perfect and correct, and I am happy with you people to follow the deen of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that the deen of Islam has been based on five pillars. Number one, that kalma shahada, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, to believe in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's messenger. And then establishment of the salah, daily five prayers, and giving the zakat once in a year, and performing the hajj once in a lifetime, and fasting the holy month of Ramadan. Why these five pillars? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us from the sand, and we have four elements within ourselves. We have earth, sand, we have water, and we have air, and we have fire. Every human being made out of these four elements: earth, water, fire, and air. Scientific perspective, these four elements are oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, and nitrogen. Now, each and every element has its own attribute. The attribute of fire is pride. Whenever you see the fire burning, the flames goes upwards always, right? So this is the attribute of the fire, and because this element is within us, and fire has pride and ego, so as Iblis, the devil, had argued with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and blew the soul and ruh in the statue of Adam alayhi salam. So he woke up, he became alive. So out of respect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded all the angels that usjudu li Adam, that you people must, out of respect, you must make sujood to Adam alayhi salam. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. All the angels bowed down, prostrated, although they argue before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, but once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to bow down and prostrate immediately without argument, they surrender and they bow down and make sajda to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, except Iblis. Now why Iblis did not make sajda to Adam alayhi salam? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him the question that when I commanded you to make sajda, you did not make it, you refused my command, why? What's the reason? He said, khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. How can I bow down in front of him while you have created me out of fire. You see, the element of fire has pride and ego. It's from the beginning. So it shows the Iblis was from the jinn, kana min al jinn, another makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created prior to the creation of Adam alayhi salam. And they were having mischief on the surface of the earth. And that was one of the argument of the angels. Why are you creating another creation who's gonna spread the chaos and bloodshed, etc.? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to angels, Inni alum ala talum, that I know what I, my plan, my blueprint, why I'm creating the Adam, you people don't know. So that was the answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So jinn, the Iblis is from the jinn category. He is made out of fire. And because the fire has ego and pride, and because of this pride, Iblis did not bow down in front of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chased him away and cursed upon him, la'natullahi alayhi, all the way till the yawmul qiyamah, and he will be doomed. So main reason of not making sajda to Adam alayhi salam was the pride. And this element is within us too. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a 5-time prayers to cut off pride from the human being. In the prayer, in the salat, what we do? Our prestigious limb of the body is our forehead and our nose. This forehead and nose we put onto the ground. So this, when you put your prestigious limb of the body onto the ground, right? So this is the sign of utmost humiliation. And this is the remedy of the pride. Because pride always take you upward. As you're making sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day. That's why it is said, if a person is making 5-time prayer in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ego, this pride get rid of from himself. He becomes humble servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's one of the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this one rukn 5-time daily prayers. Second element is the water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created with the water. So the attribute of water is greed. You will find if you throw the water, it always goes wherever he signed up space, he made this space and he want to cover everything. So the greediness is the attribute of the water. And because water we have within our body, to get rid of this water, this greed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fasting compulsory. So when a person is fasting from the morning till sunset, he is controlling himself from the drinking water and eating any kind of food. Food and drink is available in front of him. He is hungry and thirsty, yet he is not utilizing the water and drink, water and food whole day, remaining thirsty and hungry. So this, what was the element of greed he has? Because of the fasting, he can control that greed. That although I have desire for the water and food, although I like it, but I'm not going to take it. So that's how his greed is cut off by fasting. So this is the second element. The third element is a person... because of the fasting, person becomes content and satisfied. We have earth and sand within ourselves. And the attribute of the earth is stinginess. Because the earth is observing everything. Observing everything. It's not giving up. It's taking inside, taking inside. So sand has the element of the stinginess. And we are made out of sand. That's why we also have the stinginess within ourselves. So we are also stingy by nature. We don't like to give away anything to anyone by nature. So to get rid of this bad habit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made zakat compulsory upon us. By so the love of this world, love of the wealth and desire, by giving charity to the poor, sadaqah, khairat, zakat, etc., it cut off the love of the wealth and the worldly affairs. So get rid of our stinginess, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fasting compulsory upon ourselves. And the fourth element is the air. And the attribute of air is showing off. You know, air is going everywhere and becoming higher than everyone. He always, the element of the air is egotism and showing off. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this element we have within ourselves as well. So we also like to show off. When we put on new dress, we like to be praised. We are driving flashy car, we like people must look at and get impressed by our car, by our body, by our clothing, by our house, etc. So showing off is the nature of human being. So cut off this bad habit of showing, which is not good element. Allah doesn't like a person showing off. So to get rid of this element from our body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Hajj compulsory upon us. What is the wisdom behind the Hajj? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made compulsory to put on ihram. Haji, no matter he is the king of the kingdom or the president of the country, when he goes to perform Hajj, he has to take off all his three-piece suit, coat, whatever he has, everything. And he has to wrap himself with the two simple cotton sheet, white sheet. So when the group, the millions of Hujjad, you know, going to the Mina in Arafat and making tawaf of Kaabatullah, doing sa'i bain as-Safa wal Marwa, you won't recognize in the crowd who is the king, who is the president, and who is the layman. Everyone's dress is equal, two white sheet, ihram. So whatever he has in his mind, showing off, oh, I am the king of the kingdom, or I am the president of the country, or I am so and so, I am CEO of this company, all this egoism, all this showing off will cut off when a person is performing Hajj. So to get rid of our egotism and our showing off habit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a compulsory to perform Hajj at least once in a lifetime. Now there are five arkan, as the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned. First and foremost is the iman, because iman is the thing which remain within a person from the time of birth until he dies. 24/7, whole entire life, he is a mu'min. The iman remains in his heart, whether he's sleeping, whether he's eating, whether he's traveling, whether doing anything, iman does not go away from himself. As a person cannot be praying salat all the time. Sometimes he prays, sometimes he doesn't pray. Fasting is not all the time. Once in a year he fasts, and 11 months he doesn't fast. Hajj is only once in a lifetime. Then rest of the life he is not going to go back for Hajj. Only remaining attribute is the iman. So your salat cannot be accepted without iman. Your fast cannot be accepted without iman. Your sadqah, khairat, zakat is not accepted without iman. Your Hajj cannot be accepted without iman. First and foremost thing is to believe in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the iman? Iman has two phrase. One, iqrarum bil lisan, and second, tasdeekum bil qalb. Meaning, a person have to pronounce that la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That I believe that there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And I believe Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the pronunciation by the tongue. But it's not sufficient. Qalatil a'rab amanna kullam tu'minu walakin qulu aslamna. When the Bedouin claim that they are mu'min, Allah ta'ala deny them. You know, you're not mu'min. You can just claim you accepted Islam. So it shows that Islam and iman, two different things. Iman is hidden in the heart. The example of the Iman is just like a seed of the fruit tree, mango or apple or whatever, you know. The seed is very small and we have to sow in the ground, into the soil. When you buy the seed from the store, you cannot see any branch, any leaf, any fruit, any trunk within the seed. Everything is a simple seed. But it contains everything. Everything is there. The trunk is there, the branches are there, the fruit and leaves are there in the seed, but it's hidden. When you sow in the ground, then it grows up, then you can see all those things. So Iman is always hidden. Any building structure, the foundation of the building is always hidden under the ground. No one can see how strong the foundation is, what is made of this foundation, what is used in the foundation. No one see. What is visible on the surface of the earth is the wall, is the window, is the door, is the roof, and all the decorations. These are the visible. But hidden is foundation, and walls and roof is everything is based and depend on the foundation. If there is weak foundation, then wall can collapse, roof can collapse. Right? So first and foremost, our Iman has to be very strong and very clear. There is no shirk or kufr in the Iman, should be. That's why in one of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that al imanu bid'u wa sab'una shu'batan a'laha kalimatu afzaluha kalimatu la ilaha illallah qawlu la ilaha illallah wa adnaha imatatul adha anit tariq wal haya'u shu'batun min al iman kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Iman has more than 70 branches. The top and the utmost branch is the kalima la ilaha, kalima tayyiba. And the lowest branch is the imatatul adha anit tariq, to remove any obstacle from the way. And haya, modesty, is also part of the Iman. So there are two parts of this kalima. Number one is la ilaha illallah, and second is Muhammad Rasulullah. In these both kalimas, there are 12 letters. If you count La ilaha illallah, there are 12 letters. Muhammad Rasulullah also has 12 letters. What does it signify? The first portion shows the purpose of the life. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So La ilaha illallah is showing the purpose of the life. And second phrase, Muhammad Rasulullah, is showing the way of life. Two different things, purpose of the life and way of life. The purpose of life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and obey all His commands. And the way of life is to worship and obey Him the way shown by our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانْ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. You have perfect example to follow in your lifestyle, in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So every hukam, that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, سَلُّ كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِ أُسَلِّ. That you must perform your salat the way you see me performing salat. So likewise, in eating, in getting married, in every aspect of the life, the perfect example is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So every hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be performed by the way is shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now if you count 12 plus 12, La ilaha illallah is 12 letters, Muhammad Rasulullah is 12 letters. Combined is how many? 24, right? So it shows our 24 hours of our lives should be according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The time we wake up in the morning till we sleep, all the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the day and during the night should be in the accordance of the sunnat and sirat of Mubarak Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah can only be pleased when we obey His command the way shown by our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you think and ponder is very unique. Our ulama explained the whole kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, has no dot on it. All the words utilized in this whole kalima is without dot. Like Jim has a dot, Kha has a dot, Zoy has a dot, right? Ta, Sa, they have dots on it. But Allah utilized the whole kalima using the words without dots. What it signifies? La ilaha illallah, without dot, meaning there is no one like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not even one dot. So you cannot, you know, think any partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shirk and kufr is not allowed in Islam, just like La ilaha illallah has no dot, not even dot on it. So that's how our iman should be clear and perfect, without confusing, that I only believe in one Allah, Allah is the only creator. So there is no dot in it. Second phrase, Muhammad Rasulullah, there is no dot in this phrase as well. Why? Because there is no match of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only created one piece. There is no example, physical example, spiritual example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with any Nabi, any Rasul. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Badaz Khuda Buzurgatui Kissa Mukhtasar, that after the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the makhlukat, in creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is none like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is one piece. That's why in Muhammad Rasulullah, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put any dot. Utilize the words without dot. And if you count, La ilaha illallah had seven kalimat, seven words. Muhammad Rasulullah also have seven words. So why is this seven words? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Jahannam, hellfire, and Jahannam has seven stations. So a person who is reciting the kalima and believing in that and practicing upon it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from the hellfire, from all these seven tabqat and seven stations of the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created seven heavens, seven earth, seven oceans, just to show the importance of the figure seven, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilized in La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah. Everything, every creation of Allah is subservient to the hukam and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another benefit, my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this kalima tayyiba so easy, so simple. You know, when you utter this kalima, La ilaha illallah, you cannot even have to force it to pronounce it. In the stage before our death, may Allah save all of us, when a person is very, becomes weak and fragile at the time of death, he got no energy, no power at all, is lying on the bed, he cannot move his hands, he cannot do anything. In that condition, in that situation, in that dire condition, he is able to utter La ilaha illallah without even moving his lips. If you recite La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, you don't even have to use your lips. That's how simple and easy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this kalima. So a person who's dying, who got no strength and power physically, he can also able to recite this final verse of the holy, of this kalima. And that is the guarantee of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. What is the power of this kalima? Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam one day asked, Ya Allah, give me some special zikr which I can remember you with that words. It's very special. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, recite La ilaha illallah. So Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, this is so common. Everyone is saying La ilaha illallah. Everyone is saying La ilaha illallah. I want something special. No one has that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Musa, you don't know the power of this La ilaha illallah. This La ilaha illallah is more heavier than all the heavens and earth and whatever you can contain in this world. This kalima is unique. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in one hadith something to this effect, that on the Yawmul Qiyamah, a person will be brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will have 99 scrolls, sijilla, book of deeds, as far as his eye can see. One his register or book of deeds is that long as he can see that far. 99, full of sins, no good deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question, all showing after all these scrolls, 99, do you think that my angels have made any mistake and write it down extra sins which you did not commit? He said, no, Ya Allah, everything is perfect. I admit, accept that I have done all these things. Your angels did, and angels don't make mistake anyway, but that is the Yawmul Qiyamah, Yawmul the Judgment, Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show and ask the question. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, do you think that all this, the registers in front of you, is anything extra in that? He said, no, I have done everything what is written there and I admit it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he will think himself, I have so many sins, there is no way, there is no hope I'm going to get entry into the Jannah. He will lose the hope. There is no way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, today is the Yawmul Jaza, the day of judgment. And there will be no zulam will be upon any person. I have one little, good deed of yours hidden in my possession. Take it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him one piece of paper. He said, Ya Allah, one side is 99 scrolls. So heavy, so long. And this one piece of paper, what is going to do? He said, go to the angels, go to the mizan and get weighed. So he will go. An angel will put all the 99 scrolls in one span of the mizan. And this little piece of paper will be put onto the other span. So this span will outweigh all those 99 scrolls of his bad deeds and sins. And angels will say, you are successful, you pass your test. This way is the paradise. Go get entry to the paradise. He will be amazed, surprised, overwhelmed. See, Allah, what is this? What is written in this piece of paper? He said, you remember in your entire life, you did not pray any salah, you did not fast, you never did any good deed. But one time you have recited this kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, with sincerity and with ikhlas. And because of that sincerity and ikhlas, today you became successful and you get entry into the paradise. So this is the power of the kalima tayyiba, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. We should have the habit of reciting at least in the morning and evening 100 times this kalima. Inshallah, it will help us at the time of death, it will help us in the grave, and it will be helpful in hereafter as well. The second pillars, my brothers and sisters, is a 5-time salat, which is compulsory upon every male and female from the age of maturity, since he becomes baligh, until the end of his life. And there is no excuse for leaving the salat. Salat is compulsory regardless you are stay home or you are traveling, you are healthy, you are sick, you are busy, you are free. In any circumstances, in any situation, in any condition, salat becomes first to that extent. If you don't find water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, make tayammum and you have to perform your salat. In all other ahkamat of the sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us through the Jibreel alayhi salam. Only this salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the way to Arsh And in front of the arsh, in the journey of Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted us as a special gift. This is the only hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is granted on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it is so important. Initially, as we know, it was 50. When he came down on the sixth heaven, he found Hazrat Musa alayhi salam curiously waiting for him. He said, "What gift you got from the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" He said, 50 times salat a day. He said, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you better go back. Because my ummah, Bani Israel, has only two salat a day, Fajr and Asr. And they could not pray two salat. How come your weak ummah will pray 50 times salat every day? You better go back." So Rasulullah sallam went back, come back. We know the story. And eventually it became 5 times. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the glad tidings that, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if your ummati, if my servant will pray 5 times daily salat, he's going to pray five salat, but in his book of deed, I'm going to write reward of the 50 salat. Man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amsalihah. For every salat we pray, we get a 10 times reward in our book of deed. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this compulsory upon every person. There are 8 conditions before we start the salah. To make ghusl if it's necessary, to make wudu if it's necessary, to have the clean dresses, clean clothes. The place of the salah should be pure and clean. The satar should be covered for the man. Minimum is from the belly point to the knees, and for the sister and woman is from the neck to toe. Only face, 2 hands and 2 feet should be exposed. Even her hair should be covered properly at the time of the salat. So these are the 6 arkan of the salat. Number 1, takbir tahrima. Number 2, qiyam, qirat, ruku, 2 sajda, and qaida akhira. It is wajib for the man to perform all the salat with the jamaat in the masjid. Allah Ta'ala said, "Inna salat kanat alal mu'minina kitabam mawquta." Verily, prayer has been decreed upon the believers of a specific time. Fajr salah. Now, what is the reason behind it? Why Fajr salah, Zuhr salah in a specific time? It is said, Fajr salah is the match with our childhood. When we sleep, we say, "Allahumma bi ismika amutu wa ahya," with your name, I die and I alive. And when you wake up, what is the dua Rasulullah taught us first? Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. It's a significant dua. "Oh Allah, I praise you because you granted me the new life after my death. I was dead at night." That's why it is said that sleeping is the sister of death. There's a little bit difference between dying and between sleeping. Because when a person is sleeping, he doesn't know what's going on around him. Right? He's unaware of this. It's like a mini death for him. The rehearsal of the death. So the moment he opens his eyes, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the new life. So Fajr Salat, it indicating his new birth. Allah has granted you a new day. To appreciate your childhood, your new life, new chapter of your book, pray 2 rakat Salat. That is the Fajr Salat. As person is growing after childhood, youth, young age, then he becomes manhood, and after 30, 35 years, you know, he's getting downwards. His downfall starts. So Zohar Salat is after sunset. Sun is getting Zawal Pazir, you know, on the zenith, rising up to the point, now is going down. So when the sun is going down, that's the time we have to pray 4 rakat. It indicates and reminds us that now your life is, you are no more young. Your manhood is going to finish. Now you're going downwards towards your old age. And then when you pray Asr Salat, by the Asr, the sun becomes pale, becomes yellowish. You know, that power, that energy, that brightness sun has during the day is no more there. It becomes little pale now. Right? So he's losing his energy, he's losing his light and brightness. Likewise, the person towards the end of his life, after 60, 70 years, he becomes old. So Asr Salat is reminding us for our old age. And as sun is setting, we have to pray Maghrib Salat immediately after the sunset. That is the indication that your life is finished. As sun has set down, one day you will also will die. Your life is ending towards Maghrib time. So Maghrib time is indicating us and reminding us for our death. Death is going to come and we are going to die. So pray 3 rakat of Salat. And then when a person dies, no matter his father, sister, mother, wife, child, whoever, we remember him, we talk about him for a few days or maybe a few months. And after a few months, we forget him. We forget her. We don't even talk about him. He's gone. He's buried. So that is the Isha. After Maghrib, there is redness in the horizon for a while, for 40, 45 minutes, 1 hour. And after the redness is gone, the brightness is gone, and it becomes total dark. Night fall down. So Isha is reminding that after your death, few days or sometime, people will remember you, will talk about you, and after that, they are going to forget about you. They are going to forgive you. So this is the indication of the Isha Salat. Ulama said, there are 5 senses in a body. Why is 5 times Salat? We have 5 senses in our body: to see, to listen, to smell, to taste, and to touch. So for every Salah, there is one bounty. There are 5 bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are well known: eating and drinking, clothing, house, wife, children, and vehicle. For all these bounties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made 5 Salah compulsory. There are 5 conditions of human beings. In the entire life, he got 5 conditions. Whether he's standing, he's sitting, he's lying down, he's awake, or he's sleeping. So these are the 5 conditions. Our entire life, we do spend our life in these 5 conditions. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all these conditions. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made 5 time prayers every single day. Now, why the Fajr time is that time? After Subah Sadiq. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, it was a dark at night. And Adam alayhi salam came in this dunya, he was very scared. Everywhere was dark. So then after a while, Subah Sadiq appears, early dawn. And darkness disappears. So out of gratitude, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam performed 2 rakat salat. That Allah Ta'ala made it mandatory for the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So a person who is performing Fajr Salat will be giving the fidya for the azab of Qabr and for the... So this Fajr Salat, it will be fidya from the punishment of the Qabr. The time of Jannah, when Alhamdulillah, inshallah, with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we all will enter in Jannah, it will be just like a Fajr time. In Jannah, will be just like a Fajr time. No cold, no hot, just smooth and bright atmosphere. So that's why we appreciate this 2 rakat of Fajr Salat. Zohar, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam took his beloved son, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, for Qurbani to Mina. At the time, it was already Zawal time. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had 4 kinds of worries. Number 1, the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sacrifice his son should be fulfilled or not. 2, may Allah ta'ala keep Ismail alayhi salam in this young age steadfast. He should not change his mind. Number 3, when Hajar alayhi salam will ask about Ismail alayhi salam, what should I reply to her? Where is Ismail alayhi salam? And why I kill her? Number 4, how will Hajar live alone in Makkah after Ismail alayhi salam sacrifice? These were the 4 worries before slaughtering his son. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed all his worries by replacing the ram from the paradise, and instead of Ismail Islam, he slaughtered his ram. Then out of appreciation, Hazrat Ibrahim Islam had performed the 4 rakat of Salah, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that 4 rakat became a Zuhr 4 rakat for us. At the time of Zuhr, the fire of the hell is increased. Every day the angel is increasing the hell fire at the time of Zuhr. That's why we have to make special istighfar at the time of Zuhr. So whoever performs Zuhr Salah punctually, Allah Ta'ala make fire of hell haram upon his body. Now Asr time, Hazrat Adam Alayhi Salam ate barley or fruit, whatever he ate in the paradise. That was the Asr time. Because of that, he had been sent down onto the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made 4 rakat Asr faraz. So by praying Asr Salah, this ummah can go back into its original place, Jannah. The person who is performing Asr Salat regularly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon him and will grant entry into the paradise. Another reason, when Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam got swallowed by the whale, and he was scared of the 4 kinds of darknesses: darkness of the night, darkness of the cloud, darkness of the water, of the ocean, and the darkness of the stomach of the whale. So when he got released on the seashore, that was like Asr time. When the whale came out from the ocean and threw him onto the shore, that was like Asr time, sunsetting time. So he prayed 4 rakat salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this 4 rakat Asr salat for us upon us. Anyone is praying Asr salat 4 rakat regularly, Allah will protect him from the 4 kinds of darkness. Is that Yunus salam was scared of 4 kinds of darkness? A person who is praying Asr Salat regularly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from the 4 kinds of darkness. Number one, darkness of ignorance, jahalat, not knowing Sharia, not knowing the meaning of Islam and Quran. That is also kind of darkness. So darkness of the ignorance, darkness of the jahalat, darkness of the kufr, darkness of the qabr, and the darkness of the Yawmul Qiyamah. These 4 darkness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect a person who is performing Asr Salat regularly. When Munkar and Nakir come into the grave to question, the Mayyit feels like it is Asr Salat. So when they wake him up and put him sit down, he said, "Oh, leave me alone, let me perform my Asr Salat. Then you can question me whatever you like." He will feel that this is the Asr time. Who will feel? Who used to pray Asr Salat in his lifetime, regularly every day? But if a person was not, punctual of the Asr Salat, he will not feel anything. He will just say, "Hi, hi, where I am in the dark." So the moment the angels will hear that, oh, he's worried about his Asr Salat, they will recognize this soul is the soul of the believer, a true mu'min. Then they will question him in an easy way, in an easy mode, because they will realize this person is obedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So questions of the grave becomes easy for a person who performs Asr Salat regularly. That's why in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, "Hafidhu ala salawati wa salati al-wusta wa qumu lillahi qanitin." Especially mention of the Asr Salat, to be punctual of your Asr prayer. Now Maghrib Salat. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam met after they descended onto the earth for the many years, after many years separated. It said that Adam alayhi salam was descended on Sri Lanka, was a part of India, and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam was in Jeddah. That's why the city called Jeddah, the Grand Ma. So after many years, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam came for the to perform the Hajj on on foot, all the way from Sri Lanka to Saudi Arabia. And they met at the place Mount Rahma. in Arafat, there is a symbol of the little hill that's called Jabal Rahma, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the khutbah, and this ayat was revealed, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum. So when they met to each other at that Maidan Arafat, it was a Maghrib time. So Hazrat Adam sallam prayed Salah to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala made Maghrib Salah farad upon the Ummah. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam was separated from his beloved son Yusuf alayhi salam for many years, and because of that he was crying so excessively that he became blind. He lost his eyesight. So after years, when Yusuf alayhi salam became a governor of Egypt, and then he met his brothers, came for the food, asking food, so he recognized these are my brothers. So he gave him his kurta, his shirt. Go and put this my shirt on the face of my dad, and inshallah Allah will bring his eyesight back. So when his brothers took that shirt and came back to Yaqub alayhi salam and gave him this good news that your son is alive and now he's governor of the Egypt, and he gave me this shirt. The moment the shirt touched the eyes of Yaqub alayhi salam, his eyesight came back, started looking at. So out of appreciation, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, three joys. Number one, his eyesight came back. Number two, he knew now that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam is sound and alive. And number three, that his iman also protected, because when the brothers drop him into the well, he was very little child. There is no guarantee. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam didn't know that he survived or not, or even he survived, he is still practicing Islam or not. There was no one to give any news. But now he found out that his son is still the Muslim. He is still believing in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of these three kind of joys, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam prayed three rakat, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala made Maghrib three rakat, farz upon this one. Isha. The darkness of Isha time is similar to the darkness of the grave. Allah ta'ala made Isha Salah compulsory, so the darkness turned into the light. Whoever prays Isha Salah, Allah will make his qabr brighten with the noor. When Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam took his followers, Bani Israel, from the Egypt, so Fir'aun also followed them. We know the story with his army. So they caught up in between the army of Fir'aun and the Red Sea. So this Bani Israel, Jewish, they cried out, they blamed Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and they say, we are going to drown now. There is no way to get out. But Musa alayhi salam, with full conviction, said, Kalla, inna ma'i rabbi sayadeen. With full conviction that no, it will not happen. My Lord is with me and he will guide me. So immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi that you must split onto the water with your asa, and there will be the ways. There were the 12 ways in the Red Sea, and the whole Bani Israel's tribes, they passed through 12 tribes through the Red Sea safely and went to the other side of the Red Sea. Now Fir'aun is watching, his army is watching. He also entered into the Red Sea to follow and catch them. Then water came, overwhelmed on top of them. And Fir'aun also drowned, and his whole army also drowned. So at the other side, when Musa alayhi salam saw that Fir'aun and the whole army is drowned, he got four kind of joys. That his life was safe, his Ummah Bani Israel was safe, Fir'aun drowned, and his whole army also drowned. So out of appreciation, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam prayed four rakat salat, and that became Isha salat for us to perform every single day. Allah Ta'ala says, Alam tara anna Allah yusabbih lahu man fis samawati wal ardi wat-tayru safat kullun qad alima salatu wa tasbihah. That you don't see that Allah Ta'ala, it is the whom glorifies whosoever is in the heavens and in the earth, and the birds with wings outspread of each one of him, and Allah knows indeed his salah and his glorification. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the different kind of creation. And all creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, performing salat. For example, all the trees of the jungles, they are in the standing position, making zikrullah in the qiyam, in the position of the qiyam. And all the animals, four-legged animals, like cows and lion and elephant and camels, four-legged animals, they are in a state of ruku all the time. They are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state of ruku. And all the reptiles, snakes and python and all those insects, they are in form of sajda. They are on the ground, putting their head on the ground. That is the state of sujood. And all the mountains of the earth, they are in sitting position, tashahud. After two or four rakat, we sit for tashahud, attayyatu lillahi, that is the position of the all mountains of the earth. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created countless angels in the heavens. There is no single space remain empty where angel is not praying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thousands of angels pray and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in qiyam position since they are created until the yawmul qiyamah. They will just stand and they will glorify and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the group is in the ruku. One of the group is in the sajda. One of the group is in the sitting position. And they are praising and praying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, granted us these two rakat of salah. In these two rakat of salah, if you pray in proper manner, we get in the reward of all the animals and all the angels together. Everything we are doing at the creation of the whole world of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. We are doing ruku, we are doing qiyam, we are doing sajda, we are sitting in the qaida. So whole creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are just, you know, performing, imitating them in two rakat of salat. How perfect salat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. We should appreciate it. Now the question arises, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made two rakat, four rakat, three rakat of salat? Allah ta'ala has granted us five senses: smelling, nose; touching, hands; tasting, our tongue; hearing, our ear; and seeing, our eyes. These are the five things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, and we are utilizing for our benefit, right? Through the smell, through the nose, we can find out two types of the smell: good smell, bad smell. There is no third kind of smell. Whether it's a good smell, fragrance, or is a bad smell, right? So because of this, we are praying two rakat of Fajr Salah. The touching ability Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, when you touch anything, there are four things. Number one, it can be cold, it can be hot, it can be soft, or it can be hard. There is no fifth thing. Whether it will be soft, it will be hard, it will be cold, or it will be hot. So by touching, we find out these four things. That's why Zohar Salat is four rakat. Through the tongue, we can find out four things. The thing we are eating, is the sweet, or is the bitter, or is the salty, or is the sour. So these are the elements of the tongue. We having the different kind of taste, and basically these are the four tastes we have, in our tongue. To appreciate this tongue, the taste of the tongue, we pray four rakat of Asr Salat. Thus, imagine, brothers, when a person gets sick, you know, he got malaria or any kind of fever, the tongue is there, but he cannot have any taste. He's putting the thing on his tongue, but because of the fever, he cannot feel any taste. Right? So we should appreciate Allah's bounty that Allah has granted us this tongue, which have the different kind of taste, and we enjoy all these kind of things. That's why we pray Asr Salat four rakat. And in our eyesight, we can only look at to the three dimension or three direction. We look at in front of us, we can see our right side, or and we can see our left side. So three direction: front, right, and left. We cannot see our back side. That's why Maghrib Salat is three rakah. And there are seven farz act in the salah, as I said: takbir, tahrima, qiyam, qiraat, ruku, and sajda, etc. So these are the some of the important things. Now the second pillar of Islam is the zakat. Aqimus salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, aqimus salah wa atu zakah wa qa'uma raqeen, Surah Al-Baqarah. It's about 32 times the word zakat used in the Holy Quran. And about 28 times it is linked with salah. Aqimus salah wa atu zakah. Aqimus salah wa atu zakah. And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this zakat compulsory? Because the salat is the physical worship, and the zakat is monetary worship, financial worship. We paying money to perform this worship, to worship this zakat. So by default, human loves the wealth. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the son of Adam had a valley full of gold, he would like to have two valleys, for nothing fills his mouth except dust, and Allah forgives him who repents to him. Today we cannot imagine the valley full of gold and silver. Then for example, person has one shop, he is not satisfied with that. He wants to open another branch, another branch, another branch, until he will die. So this is the lust and desire for the wealth we all have. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the zakat compulsory, to cut off the lust and desire of the wealth. Allah ta'ala said in the Holy Quran, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا, that you must take out a certain portion as the sadaqa from their wealth in order to purify them and sanctify them. Or people who perform give out the zakat punctually, correctly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى, a person who gives out zakat, certainly he succeeded to purify himself. The main purpose of the obligation of the zakat is to purify oneself and the cut off the lust and desire of the worldly things, and have mercy and kindness towards the poor and destitute people. Allah will multiply in return it one day of judgment in many folds. In the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam, the zakat was 10%. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduced for us and just make 2.5%. And the zakat was almost already for us in the time of Makkah. Immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam proclaimed his nubuwat, the second surah was revealed, Surah Al-Muzammil. And in Surah Al-Muzammil it was written, wa aqimus salat wa atu zakat wa aqridu Allah qardan hasana wa ma tuqaddimu min khairin tajiduhu inda Allah huwa khairun wa a'dhamu ajra. This ayat was revealed already in Makkah Mukarramah, in the initial stage of Islam. But the amount was not fixed. Randomly, they just used to pay, and mostly they used to pay to set free the slave. Like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to utilize his wealth to set the Muslim slaves free, like Hadrat Bilal, Hadrat Suhaib, and Hadrat Salman Farsi, etc. He paid the amount and used to set free the ghulam. That's how they used to spend the zakat. But when after migration, in second year after the migration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse in the Holy Quran and set up the amount and categories of the zakat. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ فِي الرِّقَابِ وَالْغَارِمِينَ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ فَرِيضَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. This ayat was revealed in Surah Al Imran. It is mentioned the whole thing of the zakat. This ayat was revealed in Surah Tawbah, the ayat number 60. So then it was formally appointed, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made that zakat is 2.5%, and this is how it's going to be distributed amongst the poor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yamhaqullahu riba wa yurbi sadaqat, that Allah always decrease The wealth obtained by interest and riba, and it always increases the wealth, money spent for the charity and for the donation. So, a person who is not paying zakat, on the day of Qiyamah, his whole wealth will turn into the venomous serpent, which will wind around his neck and bite his jaws and say, I am your wealth, I am your treasure. And by giving zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the wealth and protect us. After the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some people refused to pay zakat. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq declared the war against them, that whoever is not paying zakat, I will fight against him to take out the zakat. Zakat, the nisab is 87.48 grams and gold and 12.36 grams silver. We know all these farais of the zakat. So, zakat will only be valid when the recipient is made the owner of the amount. Ownership is required. Zakat cannot be given to the masjid, madrasa, hospital, orphans, well, etc. because they cannot become the owner of the wealth. It has to be ownership. Zakat cannot be given to his own parents and grandparents, children, grandchildren, spouse, wife and husband cannot give zakat to each other. And the Sayyid family, Hashimi family, these are the people you cannot give zakat. You can help them from the different way. But zakat can be given to one all poor blood brothers. He was his own brothers, sister, aunts, uncle, niece, nephew, in-laws. If they are poor, then zakat, if they are entitled for the zakat, zakat can be given to all the in-laws and the niece and nephews, etc. Zakat should be given to the poor family members first, because by doing this, a person get double reward, one for the sadaqah and the other for the sila rahmi and kinship. One doesn't have to mention it to him that, oh, I am giving you zakat. Just make niyat in your heart and give him as a gift or to help him financially, whatever situation it can be. You don't have to mention that this is the zakat money, otherwise he will not like it. It is said, if all the rich people of the world, if they properly pay zakat every year in the correct way, there will be no poor person in the society. Whatever you give zakat in the obligation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant a reward and multiply it and return you back on the Yawm Qiyamah. Inshallah, our Maghrib Salah time is, how many? 22. We have 2 minutes left. And I still got 3 pillars. If you allow me, inshallah, immediately after Maghrib, I'll try to cover it up. And then inshallah, dinner will be a little late. You will be okay with that? Jazakumullah khairan. Get ready for Maghrib Salat.